Maybe you can relate to my friend Eric. He's 32, and he says he is two-thirds married. He says he's willing, the pastor's willing, now all he needs is a lady who's willing. Welcome to Family Life This Week. I'm Bob Lapine.
And I'm Ashley Eskew.
The executive director of Family Life is Dennis Rainey. And for many singles, being single is no joking matter. Today, we're going to take a hard look at the pain of being single. And we've got some answers from two ladies who speak from experience.
One of those ladies is Elizabeth Elliott, who's been widowed twice. And she encourages singles to trust in the wisdom of the ultimate matchmaker.
The shepherd is much more interested in getting the sheep where the sheep belong than the sheep are in getting there. Do you think that the Lord of the universe knows how to bring you to the right man or the right man to you at the right time? Do you think he knows how?
We'll also hear from Nancy Lee DeMoss. She is in her 40s, has never been married, and she doesn't pretend that being single is always painless.
I think everything that has to do with God's choices for our lives at times is difficult to embrace. But the fact that something is difficult doesn't make it bad.
We'll hear more today on how to respond to unfulfilled longings coming up later in the broadcast. But first, some heavy words from Jesus on what true discipleship looks like. In Luke chapter 9, the Bible says, "He was saying to them all, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he's the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?'"
Well, you know, one person that truly took up his cross daily and actually died for his faith was Jim Elliot. He was martyred in the jungles of Ecuador one day, and it was not long after he and Elizabeth had been married. They'd had one child, and he had gone on to witness to this tribe there in Ecuador, and they killed him for his faith. Elizabeth tells the story of Jim Elliot, her first husband, in the book Through Gates of Splendor, where she really talks about Jim Elliot's life and what he gave up for his Lord. She also wrote Passion and Purity and Quest for Love.
And you read both of those before you were married, right?
I did. Actually, Quest for Love had a great impact on my choosing to marry my husband now. It was a really wonderful book. I really loved it.
And one of the subjects that she addresses regularly, you know, with her audiences is the whole issue of singleness. Because, as you know, a lot of older singles really struggle with the fact that there is no companion for them. And it leads some to a life of suffering. Dennis Rainey and I talked with Elizabeth Elliott about that subject. Let's listen to a portion of that conversation.
You believe the Scripture calls us to remain faithful in the midst of circumstances that aren't working out to what we wish they would.
Suffering is a gift, Dennis. It is a gift. Paul says, "Unto us it is given not only to believe, but also to suffer." And Jesus referred to the cup that my Father has given me. Well, what was in that cup? He was reviled, he was persecuted, he was hated, he was mocked, he was captured, he was flogged, he was blindfolded, he was stripped, and he was crucified. That was the cup. And we know that his human nature was in agony over that. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane, and finally said, "Not my will." He said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass." The cup didn't pass. It wasn't possible because he could not save himself and save you and me.
One of the most memorable stories I've ever heard you tell is the story of Gladys Aylworth. It illustrates what we're talking about here in a most profound way. Would you share that with our listeners?
Well, Gladys Aylward was a London parlor maid with no education, and she believed that God was calling her to China. And when her brother found her studying a map, he said, "Well, Glad, where are you going?" And she said, "To China." And he said, "Glad, you must be out of your mind." And she said, "Jehovah God has spoken to me, and I am going to China." "Well," she said, "I didn't know where China was, but I got a map, and I studied. Then she tells the long story of how she took a train all the way across Europe and Russia and Mongolia and China, and she ended up standing on the wharf in Shanghai. And she said, when I was a child, I had two great sorrows. All my friends had beautiful golden curls, and mine was black. And when all my friends were still growing, I stopped. Well, I stood on the wharf, and I looked over all these people to whom Jehovah God had sent me, and every single one of them had black hair. And every single one of them had stopped growing when I did. And I said, Lord God, you know what you're doing.
And that's why I like that story. Mm-hmm. I've never forgotten you telling that story and the phrase, Jehovah God, you know what you're doing. And that can be true for a single person. That can be difficult, Elizabeth, for a person to grab hold of and then retain possession of. I know single people, and they can grab hold of it for a while, and the desire and the longing to be married comes back. And it's like a cross that they carry.
Well, that's exactly what it is. What do we expect the cross to look like? In what form do we expect the cross to be presented to us? Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you don't have to be, but if you want to be, these are the conditions. Number one, give up your right to yourself. Now, of course that's difficult. It is the most difficult thing that God could ever ask of us, especially in today's climate where everybody says, it's your life, it's your body, you have a right to yourself. If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, forget it. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. And Jesus quietly continues to say to us, if you want to be my disciple, give up your right to yourself. Secondly, take up the cross. Now, in what form is that going to be presented? Mm-hmm. It is going to be presented in the form of suffering. What else do we expect? The cross is an instrument of torture. Why should we be surprised? So, of course, we're going to have to get down on our knees again and again and ratify that once-in-a-lifetime surrender. I want to encourage young people who are suffering because of their singleness. And let's not mince the fact, the words about the fact that many women suffer because men are disobedient. Men are not making, they're not willing to make commitment. It takes sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Love takes sacrifice. It takes giving up the right to yourself. And in today's world, there are not very many men that are wanting to do that. So women suffer. But they suffer according to the will of God, even though it is because of a man's disobedience. Mm. And I do have to tell you that little story with Gladys Aylward's talk with me when the two of us were sitting on a sofa together. We were talking about being single, and I was a widow at that time, and she had never been married. And she said when she first went to China, she had never even thought of wanting to be married. But after about 6 years of working very happily by herself, she met, there was an English couple of missionaries that came out to work right near her. And she observed their life and saw that they had something very wonderful that she did not have. And so she prayed that God would call a man from England and send him straight out there to China to where she was and get him to propose to her. I mean, she was a no-nonsense woman, I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. And she just put that on the line and she said, Lord, send him out here and have him propose to me. And I'll never forget the intensity with which she leaned toward me across that sofa and with her little bony finger. And she said, Elizabeth, I believe God answers prayer. He called him. But he never came.
Hmm.
Well, we've been listening together to a discussion with Elizabeth Elliott on the subject of suffering. You remember the first time you heard her shake that bony finger?
I did. I heard that interview that you and my dad had with her, and it was powerful.
Yeah.
I think that's a great statement that the Lord called him, but he didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
That is some serious believing in prayer right there.
Well, Elizabeth has written on this subject in her books, Passion and Purity and Quest for Love, books that we keep available in our Family Life Resource Center. And they are great books for singles to read. In fact, my 15-year-old daughter, Katie, went through a Bible study on Passion and Purity and thoroughly enjoyed it. You can be older than 15 and still benefit from reading Passion and Purity.
Sure.
If you'd be interested in getting copies of those books, you can go online at familylife.com or stay tuned and we'll give you more information later in the broadcast about how you can request those resources from us here at Family Life.
And coming up next, we're going to hear from a single lady who says she's single by choice, but she qualifies what she means by that.
Are you in touch with any of your friends from college who are not yet married?
I am, actually, yes.
Is it hard for them to be talking to their married friend who has one child and another one on the way and they still don't have a husband out there?
I mean, I think for some of them it is. I know some of my single friends are, they're enjoying being single right now. But yeah, for some of them, it's just kind of weird that their friend is already married and has children.
And I think some of them wonder, could it be that I would get to 30 mm-hmm. or 35 or 40 mm-hmm. and not find a husband? Now, recently, Dennis Rainey and I had the opportunity to talk with Nancy Lee DeMoss, who is in her 40s and has never been married. We talked about this subject of singleness and whether it's been a struggle for her. Let's listen to a portion of our conversation with Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Nancy, what we wanted to talk with you about on the broadcast today hits to the heart of a lot of our listeners. And surprisingly, we have a huge listening audience of singles, some who are single parents, some who are single by choice, and some who are single not by their choice. They'd like to be married, and we'd like to think they're finding out what a good marriage and a good family looks like from a biblical standpoint here. And we know that Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that he wanted people to be as he was, unmarried, undistracted in his devotion to Jesus Christ. You're single. Is it by choice or not by your choice?
Well, it is certainly by God's choice. And I think that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7. It's not so much our choice in any of these matters that really matters. It's what is God's choice for us and what is his will. And I think I found in my own life that joy and freedom comes from embracing God's choice and making it our choice. So the answer to your question is yes, I am single by choice because I've chosen to embrace what God has for my life.
Has that been difficult for you to embrace?
You know, I think everything that has to do with God's choices for our lives at times is difficult to embrace. Most of my ministry is with married women, and I talk with married women day after day after day who find that difficult to embrace at times. Yes, singleness is difficult to embrace at times. But I'll tell you what's more difficult. I'm so sure I've listened to people who've chosen not to embrace God's plan to be married when it wasn't God's will or to choose to leave a marriage when it wasn't God's will. And they're the ones who ultimately end up with just very broken hearts and painful consequences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the fact that something is difficult doesn't make it bad.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because what God is looking for in each of our lives is undistracted obedience. He
yes.
calls us to obey him in the situation that we're in today.
And that's what Paul said in the passage you just referred to, 1 Corinthians 7. He said, are you married? Don't try to get out of it. Are you single? Don't pursue marriage. And then he lists several other states of life. He said, in whatever state God has placed you for this moment, be content, be God's servant, and embrace what God has for you in that gift.
You went through a period in your life when all around you, all of your friends were getting married. Now, there had to be some times you went home and wrestled like Jacob with an angel and said, what's for me? Wasn't there?
Well, Bob, I know a lot of people do have those kinds of wrestling matches, and it's not that there aren't wrestling matches in my life, but I'll tell you what, when I was a little girl, long before it was time to think about marriage, as a young child, not only did I trust Christ as my personal Savior, but really committed my life to him as my Lord and said, Lord, my life is yours.
Mm-hmm.
No questions, no hesitation, no reservation. I want whatever your will is for my life. I want to be used. I'm your servant, whatever you want. And so as these friends have married and had children, my peers are starting to have grandchildren. Mm. And there are, of course, unfulfilled longings in my heart, as in all of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But I've come to see that those unfulfilled longings are not bad. Mm-hmm. They're gifts from the Lord. One, they make me need Him. They make me want Him. They make my heart homesick for heaven, which is our only final home. They make my heart long for a more intimate relationship with Christ. You see, if we expect marriage or children or a nice home or another job or a geographic location or health, if we expect anything other than the Lord mm-hmm. to satisfy our deepest longings, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. Mm-hmm. I meet and counsel day after day with married women who are lonely, who are frustrated, and there was a point when they were single and they thought that this Mr. Right would make them happy, would fulfill their needs, but they got into marriage for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. Marriage isn't to get, it's to give. Mm-hmm. It's not to be a receiver, it's to be one who gives and blesses the other one. So to think that I will find my longings fulfilled in a person or anything or anyone other than Christ is to set myself up to be really disappointed.
That's great wisdom from Nancy Lee DeMoss. And, you know, I've heard it said before that marriage is like the flies on a screen door. The ones on the outside, the singles, want in, and many of the ones on the inside want out. And Nancy's right. If we think we're going to find contentment in a relationship here on earth, we're looking in the wrong place. True contentment comes ultimately from a relationship with Christ. Nancy wrote a booklet called Singled Out for Him that deals with the issue of singleness, and it's a resource we'd like to make available to our listeners. If you'd like to get a copy, you can go online to request one at familylife.com. That's our website. The number is 800-FL-TODAY. That's 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. When you call, be sure and let us know the call letters of the station on which you hear Family Life this week. You know, singles face a number of temptations, but for that matter, so do married couples. There may be a different set of temptations, but the issue of temptation is something that's common to all of us.
That's right. Family Life Marriage Conference speaker Dave Wilson has a word for us about that. He turns to the Bible to look at how to handle temptation, if you're single or if you're not single. That's coming up next on Family Life This Week. Stay tuned.
Many singles fear, I may never get married.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey.
It's because I needed to get married. I was 30 years old. I was getting to be an old man.
Time was running out. I'm sure a lot of singles can relate to that. Some time ago, I ran across this bad poem, but I think it's reflective of where a lot of singles find themselves. I think that I shall never see a guy who's perfect just for me. A man who's bright and doesn't bore me, who has the good taste to adore me. One whose passions don't wane when he finds out I have a brain. Yet one who will flatter and charm and flirt. A lot of money couldn't hurt. So if you see my Mr. Right, feel free to call me day or night. And if he doesn't come along, well, I'll consider Mr. Wrong. I'm afraid that all too many singles panic and settle for Mr. or Miss Wrong. One final thought. If you're single, you need to learn to view your marital status as a gift from God. You and I need to thank God for all our circumstances, even the ones we don't like. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Last year, Cheryl and Roy went to the Family Life Marriage Conference.
We really needed it.
Now that was a weekend to remember.
And from talking to them, you get the idea they got something out of it.
Time away from the kids, just me and Roy.
I learned a lot about being a better husband, and it definitely helped us as a couple.
He wrote me a love letter.
Register now for A Weekend to Remember. Call us toll-free at 1-800-FL-TODAY or register online at familylife.com.
Welcome back to Family Life This Week.
You know, we got an email from one of our listeners who wrote to us this week. He has been married for a couple of years, and he said, I think you're one of the very, very few ministries that do a proper job of calling men to their roles of biblical, loving leadership. I know that I would be much more passive if it weren't for your show. Thanks for the good work. Well, thank you for the nice letter. It's always nice to hear from listeners. You can send us email by logging on to our website at familylife.com and drop us a line. Well, one thing that all of us face in marriage or in the workplace or as singles is the issue of temptation. Temptation, according to the Bible, is common to all men. The Bible also says that God has given us a way to escape temptation. But many of us don't avail ourselves of that open window of escape. Recently, one of our Family Life Marriage Conference speakers, Dave Wilson, addressed our staff here at Family Life on the issue of temptation. And Dave offered some wise counsel on how we can flee those temptations. Have you met Dave before?
I have not.
He is a chaplain for the Detroit Lions football team and is a great guy. He serves on the pastoral staff at a church in suburban Detroit. And when he came and spoke to our staff, he got a great response. Let's listen together to an excerpt from this message by Dave Wilson.
Let me read you a passage I know you know, James 1, verse 13, when James talks about the pattern of temptation. He says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one, listen to this, verse 14, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. He lays out a pattern of temptation that I have seen over and over in my life. I know you've seen it as well. It's an interesting word he uses, enticed. In the Greek, it's a fishing term. It's a hook. It's a bait that's laid out there for a fish to bite. And he says, we give birth to sin when we see the bait and we actually bite it and we're in trouble. So here's what I want to do. I want to write this down. This is the pattern that temptation will always take in your life. And I'm sharing this just, I think you probably know this, but to alert you to what could break a vow in your life. Here's what happened. There is a bait that is dropped. Okay, so there's four B's. You got a bait and then put an arrow going that way because then something else happens. You burn, or we burn with desire. So the bait's dropped. You burn with desire. At this point, you make a choice, and here's what a lot of people do. They bite. Just to go with his little fishing analogy, keep it going. You got bait, burn with desire, you bite. You know what the result is? You're baked or battered, either one. Put those down. You end up just like a fish in a frying pan. I mean, picture the sort of the analogy that James is using. You've got a fish over here in a coral reef hanging out where he should be. He isn't where he shouldn't be. He is where he should be, hanging out here by the coral reef. It's safe there. He's just where a fish should be, doing whatever a fish does by a coral reef, hanging out, and all of a sudden this bait poof, plops in the water. And he's here, over here hanging out where he should be, but his eyes go, ooh, did I hear that? I better look over there. Ooh, look at that worm. But no, I'm not going over there because I know there's a hook on that worm. I'm going to stay right here. And he hangs out by the coral reef. But you know what happens to him. He starts to burn with desire for that worm. And so what he thinks is, I'll just move a little bit toward it. I won't go over there, but I'll just... You know what happens. He just leaves the coral reef a little bit, and he looks at that thing a little closer, a little bit. He sees it jumping around there in the hook, and he says, nah, I better not go over there. And he hangs back to the coral reef. But his desire burns within him. And all kinds of rationalizations take place. I don't know the fish's minds, but you know what happens. You know, they start to sort of, well, this time I'll just swim around and look at it, but I won't bite it. No way. I'll just check it out, and then I'll go back to the coral reef. And they start this. And you know as well as I do, the second he left this place, he's going to bite that, isn't he? And some of you know more than I do that you've bit. And that's what happens. He gets over here, he bites, he ends up, some fisherman's cutting him up for dinner. That's exactly what happens to us. Here is the pattern for victory, okay? Quite a bit different, you'll notice. Here's how you win over sin. It's what James says. The bait is dropped, okay? So you get the same thing, bait. Arrow two, you burn with desire for it. That surprise you? Maybe. Some of you did, some of you didn't. See, a lot of us think we win over sin because we don't really want it anymore. I have to be honest with you. I still want to sin. I do. Do you? Maybe you don't. I pray God would change my desires all my life. I still have desires to sin. I still do. And when I see the bait, there's a part of my sin nature that says, go for it. You want it. It'll be great habit. At that moment, I got to make a choice. And if I choose not to bite, but to bolt, run, bolt, get out of there, leave the premises, leave whatever I have to do, I will be a blessed man. That's the final B. There's the difference. Bait, burn, bite, baked. Bait, burn, bolt, blessed.
That's Dave Wilson. Did you get all that?
Bait, I did not.
Bait, burn, bite, bait. Bait, burn, bolt, blessed.
All right, I got
That's
it this time.
Pretty good formula there, isn't it?
It is good.
And a good reminder from Dave on what we can do when we face temptation. As we go, we have a tribute this week from one of our single listeners who called to offer words of affirmation and appreciation to a family member when they called our family tributes line.
I was a single parent with three children. My oldest was my daughter, Joni. And I can honestly say that I could not have raised my boys and run my house, worked, and took care of everything without her help. She was exceptional. She was then when she was a little girl growing up, and she is today. She's 39 today. She'll be 40 this year. And if I had a list of the most admired women that I know or that have touched my life, probably Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joan of Arc, would be in the top three, and there would be my daughter. Her name is Joni, and she has a little girl now who's 10. All the time that I didn't get to spend with my daughter because of working, God has restored that time and allowed me to spend with my granddaughter. But I want to give tribute to God for giving me my daughter, Joni, who is a wonderful daughter and a wonderful mother. I'd like to just give her a plaque and have it engraved that she went beyond the call, and she does that today. I love you, Joni.
Well, next week we want to invite our listeners back as we're going to start talking about worldviews and TV views. We're going to talk about what we watch and the perspective from which it may be coming. I hope you can join us as we talk with Bob DeMoss and Lael Arrington. I want to thank the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, for today's program, along with our station partners all across the country.
Our program is a production of Family Life Today in Little Rock, Arkansas, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families.
That's right, godly families who change the world one home at a time. I'm Bob Lapine.
And I'm Ashley Eskew.
Hope you'll join us back next week for another edition of Family Life This Week.